It's encouraging. You guys seem like you're 300 people. It's excellent. It's very encouraging to see the enthusiasm as you sing the words of truth. This morning, my goal, to be clear, is to inspire and encourage you to be a spark of creativity and beauty in your community. To bring forth, or to breathe on the fire, to bring it to blaze, that beautiful image of creativity that God has put in you. We are created in God's image, and you see that with children. Children are amazing, aren't they? I'm blessed to have three beautiful children, and to have been able to be a dad was the best thing that happened to me outside from the day that I was immersed into Christ, and outside from getting married too. You know, my wife might see this, so I got to make sure I make that clear too. But it's top three for sure. And kids are great, aren't they? They will just go around the house. This was my son's thing when he was little. He'd just go around the house making up songs. It's like that scene from the movie Elf. I'm singing, and I'm in a store, and I'm singing. And that was my son. My son would just, Jesus, I love you. Today is a good day. I really like my breakfast. And thank you. And just go around singing. And we loved it. As a parent, you love to hear that. Kids are so creative. They'll make things without being asked to make things. They'll draw without being told to draw on your wall. And they'll make a beautiful mural that you didn't commission or ask for, but it's there. Children are made in the image of God because in the beginning, God created us in His image. In the image of God, He created them. And as His image bearers, we have this instinct that our Father has to create. And you and I, having been also made in His image from our very identity as a human being, in Christ we are made again in the image of God. We are created even more and even further into the image of Christ. The perfection of what God wanted man to be. The perfection of His intention, of His revelation of His will. I have been blessed to be in France to reread the Bible in French. And this passage is a passage that jumped out to me when I reread it in French. Because, you know, the words that they use are different. And instead of saying, here in English, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. In French, it says, we are His, nous sommes son ouvrage. Ouvrage is a word that, for me, brought out the idea of an œuvre d'art, a work of art, a masterpiece. And so out of curiosity, I said, wow, this verse really jumps out to me. I usually think of this work, workmanship, this idea of work is, you know, a job, something you gotta get done, and it's a 9-to-5, so to speak, and God's working on us, and He's hammering away, He's falling away, He's trying to bring us into shape. And yes, there is some truth in that sense, but the word that is used for workmanship is the word poema. Poema. Now, I do this test every congregation I visit and speak about this to see that this is my very informal intelligence test. Poema. What could that word be in English? Poema. Poem. Okay, so this is another congregation where there's intelligent people. Good to hear. At least one or two. Poema is the word that we get in English, poem. Have you thought about that before? We are God's poem. He's writing to the world. A poem is something that's supposed to be beautiful. A poem is something that's supposed to touch not only the mind, but the heart. A poem is a way of communicating that influences people intellectually, but also emotionally, because it's something that moves us. God is hoping that through us, He can move the world. He can bring them to Him. It's a beautiful thing to think about. And God has decided to include us in His work, in His great masterpiece. You know, when Michelangelo created the Sistine Chapel, one of the most magnificent works of art in the world, without compare almost, the most central part of which we've all seen is God reaches out His hand and brings the spark of life into mankind, the image of when God breathed into him His life-giving being, and man was made in His image. This work took him over 4 years. As he lay on his back, he painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. But there's another thing that goes into completing such a ufgai, such a work of art, such a poema. And that's the second word that's used in this passage in Ephesians, ergon. And that word has the sense of all the tasks, your to-do list, basically. You know, the things that your wife puts on, okay, fix the squeaky hinge, or there's a leak in the faucet. Those are all the little tasks, but just the basic things that need to be done so that a poema can be completed. So that a great work of art can be done, it needed people to provide the paint, to mix the paint, to get the right colors and the right textures, and then for people to make or buy or sell paint brushes that had to have the right kind of bristles, which means somebody had to go and pick hair off of probably a horse's tail. And it means that all these little different things had to happen. These works had to contribute to Michelangelo. Somebody had to build the scaffold for him to lay on his back and paint. And God invites us to be his sous chefs that come together and work with him and prep and cut and make sauces and so forth, so that he can present to the world a beautiful work of art that is a dish that is appetizing and brings people to know him. In addition to inviting us into his work of creation, God invites us to cultivate and keep the good and beautiful things that he's in the process of creating. The beautiful things he's made. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 is the only other time in the New Testament that we see this word poema. And that is when he talks about his creation reveals his nature, that the work that the creation tells of God. And God's creation culminated in his creation of man, who was then invited to work with him, to be placed in the garden to cultivate and keep it, Genesis 2:15. That he placed them in the garden to cultivate and keep it. And God is continuing to work in us to cultivate, to cause to grow, to cause to multiply, to cause to come to production his good work. I am far from having a green thumb. And I've had an interesting thing happen to me many times. I don't know why this always works out, but I've planted gardens and I've cultivated them, and then somebody else ends up eating them. Sometimes it's pill bugs. Sometimes it's other people. I remember once as a kid, I decided to plant a garden in my parents' backyard, and I didn't think through the fact that prior to it being a garden, it was a trash dump. And so I was, you know, digging up all the trash out there, and then planting the garden. And I also probably should have gotten some good seed, because I just found some seed that is actually a mix of bird seed that my parents had. I didn't think this through very well. And so out of my beautiful garden of corn, I had beautiful stalks of corn, and I got 2 ears out of it, and they were rather interesting. But God wants to produce something as beautiful. God wants to produce in us something amazing with our partnership. And if you think about it, this is just human nature. In France, they have some of the oldest cave paintings in the world. Some of the most well-known cave paintings in the world. And one of the things that jumps out to me when I think about this is the very earliest traces of what people would call, oh, that's caveman or Neanderthal man or whatever. What are they doing? What are these ancient, you know, so-called cavemen, what were they doing? They're doing art. They made paintings, beautiful paintings. Especially considering the technology they had, they made some pretty amazing stuff that's lasted a very long time. From the very earliest artifacts that you find, and this is something that even an evolutionist would, or a materialist would have to admit, the very earliest artifacts we have of mankind are often works of art, sculpture, games, tools that were created, paintings. Because being actually, in reality, created in the image of God, have this instinct to create. Why does God do that? Why does he invite us to participate in this work of creation and cultivation? Why not just do it himself? Couldn't he just, he could do it better, maybe, if it was just him, right? Why not? Because he wants to incorporate our work into his. He wants to do beautiful things with broken vessels. In Japan, there's a form of art that's called kintsugi. And this form of art dates back to the 15th century when a shogun sent off to China a China porcelain bowl that had been damaged for them to repair it. And when he got it back, they'd stapled the bowl together. I can't imagine how ugly that must have been. But staples holding this bowl together, they said, "We can do better." And so they had already a technology of creating lacquers, of resins, that could be used to repair vessels or to repair bowls and so forth. And what usually was done was they would try and get the color of the resin to match perfectly with the color of the original bowl so that you couldn't tell it was broken. But they said, you know, rather than hiding the fact that this bowl has been broken and remade, they mixed in gold powder into their resin. And so instead of hiding the history of this bowl, it brought out its beauty, that what was once broken has been remade and is now even more valuable and more beautiful than it was beforehand, as it now has gold in it. God is using us, he's perfecting his power in our weaknesses. As 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, Paul said his power was perfected in weakness. It reveals even more the glory and the creativity and the wonder of God, in that he can use you and I, broken pieces, to make his glorious masterpiece. And he wants to incorporate our past, our mistakes, our faults. He wants to use that to reveal his glory, that in spite of that, and even sometimes through our suffering, he has done something beautiful. See, he's building his spiritual dwelling, his great mansion, his home, out of living stones. Living stones are harder to work with than concrete blocks. They're not all the same size and the same dimension. That's why in France nowadays, they usually build with cement blocks. Line them up, and if you can do Legos, you can do cement blocks. They're basically the same thing. Building with living stone, building with stones that were natural, that have been carved out through the works of the erosion and various natural effects, they don't come out nice and square and perfect. They're different. Some of them have, there's a little pit here, or there's a little bit of a crack there, or whatever. But if you could pick between these two houses, which would you pick? A beautiful house that's lasted for hundreds of years, built out of living stone, or something made out of concrete? I think most of us would pick that which is made with stones. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "Come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, be yourselves built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." God wants to use you and I to build his dwelling. And somebody might say at this point, "Well, okay, I don't want to be involved in this. I'm not really excited about working with God. So I'm just going to stay neutral on this issue. I'm a good person. I don't do a lot of bad. I don't hurt people. But I'm just not really interested in being involved in God's work. The fact is, either you're creating or you're destroying." The second law of thermodynamics states that the universe is tending towards decay. It's tending towards a state where there's less usable energy. And a materialist, a non-Christian, or an atheist would tell you that the end of the universe will be a dissipation of all energy into useless heat death. And that's the end of the show. Everything's falling apart. And if we don't participate in the work of creation, the fact that you live and breathe and you consume resources means that you're participating in the work of destruction. The devil cannot create anything. He can only destroy it. He can only turn aside from its intention that which God has made. As for John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." That's all that he can do. He cannot make anything beautiful. He cannot make anything useful. But Jesus came He came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You have to pick a side. The fact of not picking a side is picking a side. It's participating in the usage and the destruction. If you're not for him, you're against him. We're either helping to realize God's project of a beautiful garden that we see the image of, the foretelling of, in the picture of Adam and Eve, or we're participating in the total destruction and the wasting and the erosion of what God has made. As you see here, man has done in the Niger Delta. Their usage of destruction, irresponsibility, and corruption causing total destruction. You're in one of these two camps. There's no line in the middle. You're participating in creating what God has intended for you to create and participating in his work, or destruction. The church is a beautiful thing that God has made. It is called to be a haven for artists, for creative people, for people to express the creativity that God has put in them. Something that's fascinating for me to see and to realize is when Christians were being persecuted in Rome and were forced to flee into the catacombs, were forced to run and hide for their lives. Usually when you think about, okay, I'm hiding for my life, I'm in a survival situation, I'm in some post-apocalyptic movie, so to speak, where they're trying to get me. You don't stop and do a work of art. You don't die, you don't have time for that. You gotta worry about necessities, basic living, surviving. But the church, from its very early ages, we find traces of paintings in the catacombs in Rome, where they would be amongst the skulls and the bones, making something beautiful to teach and illustrate the picture of the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. This has been part of the DNA of the church since its inception. To make hymns and songs and spiritual songs, to do works of art, to manifest through the external signs the beauty that God has put in our hearts of his message. And this makes sense because it's in the church that our individuality and the gifts that God has given us and encouraged us to use can be fully expressed. See, in this world, when you express your creativity or individuality or your uniqueness, it's so that people can give you praise. Wow, look at the amazing art that you did. Aren't you great? Yes, I am. Thank you very much. That's how it works in this world. We applaud the maestro who leads the symphony for his amazing work. But in the church, when we exercise our individuality and freedom, but in unity, as Romans 12, 1-8 talks about, when we are not transformed by this world, conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, it's to the glory and praise of God. He who made us receives the glory. He who has created us receives the glory. And so we are encouraged in the church to consider, to think about, to pause and think. How can I stimulate my brothers to love and good deeds? We're told to consider that. To use our creativity, think, what could I do that would motivate my brothers to love better? To do more for the Lord? That's my desire, my goal here, is to stimulate you to love and good deeds. And to use these images and these different ways to try and use the creativity God gives me to spark the creativity he puts in you. Maybe you're saying, okay, Jeremiah, this is great. All right, okay, now I agree with you. Yes, I should be participating in the work of creation, but I'm just not that type of person. You know, I'm a numbers guy, or I don't know which end of a paintbrush I would even use. I couldn't draw my way out of a box. I don't know what to do with all this. I'm not a creative type. If that's the case, you're probably looking at this idea of creativity too limited. You're not seeing, as it says in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every good and productive thing that you do, when it's done with the right motive and the right intention and the right desire, can be a way of expressing the creativity and the image that God has put within. I want to share quickly a few images of ways that I've seen brethren in Marseille express the creativity God puts in them. Not to glorify or to aggrandize this, but hopefully to spark in you an idea of, hey, yeah, I could use that. I can do that. I can do something similar. I can use what God's given me to bring people to know, see His glory. Maybe it's through just a simple farm that you run that you help to feed people. That's creating life. Maybe the way you make your bed, like John Emmanuel at youth camp, made his bed, it was a work of art. He made that bed incredibly well and went to great lengths to do it. Maybe you are sparking or creating or cultivating in somebody a basic skill, teaching them how to do something, which is a lifelong work of art. Maybe you are doing something with your hands, like Remy, who made this beautiful floor, hardwood floor, that creates a space where people want to sit together and talk and have fellowship. Maybe you're helping fix a child's toy that otherwise would end up on a junk heap. And so you're creating that child a moment of joy. Maybe you're bringing back to life a dead engine, like Khaled, who brought back to life this Land Rover that hadn't moved in 8 years. Maybe you're recreating a spark of movement. Maybe you're helping to take care of your neighborhood, cleaning up trash along the side of the road to take care of the creation that God has made out of your love for your neighbors, so they can see that you respect what God has created. You create a place of beauty for them to look at. Maybe it's through putting on a concert for people in the community to come and hear the singing. You guys are singing. You've got something here. It's great. I encourage you to use that as an outreach tool for people to come and hear the words of truth. Maybe it's a play that you put on in a youth camp and that you can take to the neighborhood and go to the town and put on a presentation that has music and singing and acting out stories from the scriptures. Maybe it's through building and maintaining a friendship, spending time with your friends. That's a lifelong effort. Friendships don't stay strong and beautiful without investment in time and energy. Maybe your expression of your creativity is in the kitchen. Maybe it's through the things that you make that are symbols of your love for other people, and that each bite reveals that God has put something in you of beauty. Maybe it's through teaching other people how to do that. Maybe your role or your way that you can participate in creativity is helping teach people how to cook. Maybe it's putting on a barbecue and learning how to do it and crank out 120 burgers in an hour. I don't know if there's anything that's more beautiful than a marriage. You see an elderly couple, 50 years of marriage, still love each other, still have that spark of romance. It's so beautiful. You see a couple starting out, and the joy, the hope, and the excitement that they have to start their relationship. It's so beautiful. But it doesn't come without expressing the creativity and the work and the cultivation that God puts in us. There is something that's maybe even more beautiful than a marriage, and that's the children that come out of that marriage. The beautiful fruit of a loving relationship. So incredible to see these creations of God. Maybe you can create a beautiful time just by putting up a bonfire, inviting people to sit around, sing, talk, fellowship, and think. A lot of great thoughts can happen around a fire as the stars come out. Maybe it's organizing a time to get together with friends and people in the church and outside the church and people in your community and say, hey, let's go play some basketball, shoot some hoops. And you're cultivating not only your physical health, but you're cultivating those relationships with other people and moments of memories. Maybe it's going for a hike and saying, hey, let's go down. There's the trail down here by the river. I got to see last time I was through here. Beautiful area. Say, hey, let's go and walk together and find a place to sit and pray and thank God and meditate on what He has created and the beauty of His creation. Maybe you can participate in the work of cultivation and keeping by learning how to save a life, learning how to do first aid. How's that? You're literally keeping somebody alive, keeping something that God has created in existence. Maybe you can be creative in a way that I haven't even thought of, like my son Jonathan, whose hair is usually not like this, but he and his buddy Nathan decided they were going to take a sort of Nazarite vow until they had completed reading the New Testament, they would not cut their hair. And so they did get it done, and this is how long it took to get that done. And right before they got their hair cut, they took a picture. But they had motivated each other and encouraged each other through this creative way to be dedicated to their Bible reading. and I put up with it. Maybe your way of creating is teaching, and helping it teach English, or helping teach somebody a skill, and creating in them a lifelong skill. Maybe it's being silly and dressing up with the beard that you're doing one of the Brothers of Jesus for a youth camp, and getting into it, really being involved, and sparking imagination in kids so they the Bible becomes living and real to them, and not just an old dusty book that they don't understand. Maybe you could put up, like we did 2 years ago, a thankfulness tree. And each person puts on there a leaf of somebody who played an important role in their Christian journey, that somebody who helped pass the faith on to them. And so that you see visually as a church how others people have played a role in you being where you are spiritually. Maybe it's through a mural. This mural here was created by one of the ladies in the church there in Marseille, Mila. Mila is a Ukrainian refugee. Her apartment was hit by a missile in the city of Kharkiv. She's been there with us in Marseille now for the last year and a half. And this is a painting that she did in a center there in Marseille for refugee kids. And this painting of a countryside scene in Ukraine is painted by her and other Ukrainian children as a memory and as a callback of their time in Ukraine. And for me, this painting is already quite well done. It's impressive that they did this in about a day with a group of kids. But what made it beautiful for me was that in spite of the people's suffering, their experiences, and what they've gone through, they can produce something beautiful. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to produce through us and with us something beautiful. To wrap up, I want us to think about this passage. Psalm 50, verse 1 and 2. The mighty one God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God has shown forth. What is this Zion that is called the perfection of beauty? It is us. We have come to the Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the assembly of the firstborn. This is the body of Christ now and in the future. And it is from this city on a hill, this perfection of beauty that God wants to shine forth to all the peoples and all the nations. This world is getting dark. There's a lot of ugliness out there. Unfortunate fact of this being a year of election means it's going to get even uglier, I'm afraid. There's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of nastiness. We need to be a light of beauty to the world. That as people get lost in confusion about their identity, lost in fighting and division and hatred, lost in so many negative things, we as the body of Christ have a better way to show people of our love and our creativity that God has put in us. Think of all the people who are so confused about their identity right now. Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? Where is my role in this world? God has answers. And in the church, we can show that yes, you are special. And yes, there is something beautiful in you. It's the image of God that he wants to reveal in you. This is our call to invite people that we as the body of Christ should embody this perfection of beauty. Our God is a beautiful God. Our God is a beautiful God who's writing a poem to this world. And you and I can participate in that. The world may see, the world may be touched intellectually, emotionally, and drawn to him and know him. There's no other work of creation that's more beautiful than that which happens in the waters of baptism. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. If you are spoken to or you are touched by this call, participate in the beauty of God, to participate in his work of creation, that starts in that. As you are transformed out of the darkness into light. That invitation is open now and always.